Here we uncover the traditions that are working for successful parents. For the parents who are ready to do things differently but aren't sure how, go to WandaHoward.com and download my free blueprint. It will help you create the difference you've been looking for and enable your kids to be emotionally healthy and confident throughout their lives. Now is the time to start doing things differently.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Successful Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Wanda Howard, and my co-host,
Emery Howard.
And we have an exciting guest for you today. So, Emery, take it away. Introduce our guest.
So he is Andrew Anderson. Welcome. And he is a number one best-selling author. And I'm not sure of which type of book, so I'm going to ask that question. But anywho, here we are. So,
and he is also a coach and a speaker.
Coach and a speaker. Yeah.
So there's lots of things that we need to dive into today to get into, huh?
First of all, why is your name Andrew and then your last name Anderson? Andrew L. Anderson.
Yeah. Well, my name is Andrew L. Anderson because Dave and Christy Anderson are my parents. And I got to keep their last name of Anderson. And there were four other siblings born before me, Angela, Elisa, Adam, and Amanda. And by the time they got to me, they had to give me an A name. And my mom wanted to name me Ammon, or my dad did, and my mom didn't want that. So she said Andrew was better than Ammon. So Andrew is my name, and L stands for Lee, which is my mom's middle name. So I got Andrew, and my mom's name Lee, and my dad's name Anderson.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love family stories. Well, before we get too much into the family side of things, though, let's dive into the business side of things so people can get to know a little bit more about what you do. And then let's dive into the backstory. So
wait. I was going to say something. Oh, yeah. You've got your mom's middle name, and so do I. I've got my mom's middle name.
And what's your mom's middle name, Emery?
Grace.
Grace. Emery Grace. That's beautiful.
Yep. It's a good name, huh? Okay. So, Emery, you had questions first about his book, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what are your questions there?
What are your books about as the principle of your books?
Yeah. So the title of my book, I'm going to show you a picture. The listener will have to go and find it online because they don't get to see it. But the title of my book is Strength of the Oak, Strength of the Willow, How to Find Courage and Compassion in a Turbulent World. So my book talks about what I've learned myself from my life and then the lives of those I coach about how we can be stronger through courage and compassion and have that awesome strength of an oak and the strength of the willow in our lives.
Oh, that's so cool. So what inspired this project in the first place then? Because already courage and compassion, like those are the two things that everyone needs. So what was it specifically that inspired this book project?
Well, it was a two-step inspiration process. Step number one was I had a coach one day that said to me, Andrew, you have a lot of oak-like strength. You are one of the most committed people, and you're bold, and you just never seem to sway in your values and principles. And he said, you might need some more willow-like strength. And I said, what does that mean? And he said, the willow is strong in that it can bend without breaking, and it has more grace, and it is able to be flexible. And so that was the first thing that started happening that I was aware of. And then the way that it turned into a book was that I was in Zion National Park. Have either of you guys been there before?
Yep. That's where Emery got her name, was from Emerald Pools.
Oh, yes. I love that. I've been there before. I've hiked there. The very first time I ever went to Zion, I stood and looked up at these rock walls that went up for hundreds and hundreds of feet. And I had this really neat moment. And I felt the power of nature, and it just overcame me, and it actually brought me to tears. And then the message came into my mind, Andrew, these are rocks. You are my son. And it was as if God was speaking to me directly. And he said, others can feel something even more powerful than what you're feeling right here when you fulfill the measure of your creation. And then I just started weeping. And as I was walking away, wondering what to do with this new revelation, the idea, strength of the oak, strength of the willow, came into my mind, and I knew it needed to be a book.
Wow, that is so cool. Thank you for sharing that experience too. It's so beautiful in just the everyday moments, of especially in nature. I feel like we come to these everyday moments where God speaks to us of our wonder and our capacity as His children. So thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
That's a great question, Emery. Any other questions there?
Is that Strength of the Oak and Strength of the Willow book your first book or your last book?
I sure hope it's not my last book. It is my first book. And then I have a gratitude journal that goes along with it. So that's my second book, is the gratitude journal. It's a 60-day way for you to go deep into gratitude in just a really fun way.
Oh, cool. And while we're on that topic too, I want to ask a little bit, because I have struggled with mental illness my whole life, depression, anxiety, and all those things. And this podcast is specifically for those who also struggle with those things and know those on a personal level, either from themselves or loved ones. So with the gratitude journal, I'm always intrigued and I want to ask more so my listeners can know what to expect. Does that apply or take into account, or have you had clients with mental illness who have used it? Tell us a little bit of how the dynamics of that intertwine with mental illness.
Absolutely. Well, I have had my own journey with depression and anxiety. And at one time I was labeled with borderline personality disorder. And I didn't think that there was any way for that to change.
Yeah.
And now this is actually what I do professionally as a coach. I help people that are really, really struggling, and we're able to take things that have happened in the past and create new meaning around them using a process called mental and emotional release therapy. And it doesn't take months and months and months and years and years and years of help. We can do it pretty quickly. And so once we bring new meaning, like gratitude, why did this happen for me as opposed to why this happened to me, then all of those things that may be so hard, they become beautiful. And we recognize how they've helped us grow and gain what I call in the book, stress wood, which is what trees develop when there's lots of wind and turbulence. It builds a strength that they couldn't have if there wasn't all of the opposition.
Oh, that's so cool. And I love that phrase of giving it new meaning.
Yes.
Because it's so true that like the trauma or the way that you process information, it's your brain still has to be able to process things. And it's when you give it new life and when you give it new things that it can grab onto, that the change really starts to happen. I love that. Okay. And Emery, you had a question too about how he went about creating his book, right? Or what was that? Was that with his business? I just want to make sure we're not missing any of your questions.
No, I think that's all, except for I understand that it's about strength of the oak and strength of the willow and the different strengths, but like can we dive a little bit deeper into that, like how what mm-hmm. it's about?
Yeah, so that's a metaphor. Have you ever heard that word before, Emery?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the strength of the oak is a metaphor, which means it's like a symbol of there's a strength inside of you and your mom and me and all of us. And it's something that will never go away and it will last forever. Did you know, Emery, that the oak tree can live longer than almost any tree on the planet? There are some that they think have lived for thousands of years. And so there's something inside you. There's a strength. There's a purpose. There's a meaning to your life that will never go away. And when we can identify what that is, then we can have the courage to withstand any storm. And you want to know why courage is one of my favorite words, Emery?
No.
You want to know why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Courage comes from the French word cœur. And I speak French because I served my mission en France, which is France. And in French, the word for heart is cœur, C-O-E-U-R. And we say cœur in French. And so courage comes from the word cœur, which is heart. And when we truly feel like our heart is in alignment with what our Heavenly Father wants us to do in this life, then we will be able to have the courage and the strength to continue to move forward and fulfill the mission we have for our life. So wow. that's what the strength of the yoke is.
That gave me chills. I love knowing more about like the depth of words. I love getting a word and finding out its origin. And I had no idea that courage came from heart. That's really cool. So then before the book, you had to have all these clients. You've helped over 700 people in finding this courage and this peace in their life. So what was it in the first place? What was your journey to even becoming a coach and a speaker and an author? What was your path?
Well, chapter one is called Grounded. And grounded doesn't always sound like the best thing to be, right, Emery? Have you ever been grounded before?
Nope.
Nope. Are you an angel child?
Nope.
You're somewhere in between, but you've never been grounded. So some people talk about grounded as being a bad thing, but there's also another meaning for grounded. To be grounded means to be connected to the earth in an energetic way. We're grounded. And so chapter one talks about me getting grounded when I was about your age. In fact, it was fifth grade. Are you in fifth grade?
Fourth.
Yeah. So I talked about me being grounded in fifth grade. And then it fast forwards about, 20 years of my life when I found myself grounded living in my parents' basement. And that was in the fall of 2013, 10 years ago. Were you born yet in the fall of 2013, Emery?
Well, I was born
That was the year that you were born.
Yeah. Okay. So September 2013, I was moving into my parents' basement because my little family that I thought was going to go on forever, we were going through a separation, which meant my wife and I at the time weren't going to be married anymore. And I felt like I had failed them and I had failed my wife and I had failed our Heavenly Father. And I was in my parents' basement and I had been teaching seminary for the church for about 6 years before that. And I had finished my master's degree in education and we had just moved from Utah back to Idaho and things were really great until she said she wanted to separate. And I really believed that that was something that was just going to ruin the rest of my life and I would never be happy again because I didn't have my dream job. I didn't have my dream family or my dream marriage. And I was in the depths of depression and I felt extremely anxious about my future. And that's where my book starts, chapter one. It was 10 years ago today. And so that was my lowest of lows.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's cool. Going to be just a, it's cool to see how far he's come.
Yeah, but it's also cool to know that it's like 10 years ago today, it was the first chapter.
Yes, right when you were born. Your life started and my book started 10 years ago.
Yeah. So, tell us more about like that process then, because being grounded, like that definitely sounds like a very harsh awakening to being grounded. So what was the first thing that kind of got you out of that slump of feeling that depression?
Well, I had to make a decision. And would it be okay if I read one of the quotes from my book with you guys?
Oh, please.
So I was literally sitting on this bed of my room, which was not a room. It was just my parents' basement. And I was holding a book in my hands. And this book is called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And for anyone that doesn't know who Viktor Frankl is, Viktor Frankl survived Nazi concentration camps back in the 1940s. And he was there for 3 years. And they actually took him because of his beliefs. He was a Jew. And they killed his wife, who was pregnant with their first child, and they killed his parents, and he was the only one that survived in his family. And most of the people in that prison camp, they all died. They didn't make it. And he was one that survived. And he was writing the book, Man's Search for Meaning, during the time that he was in prison in his mind. He was writing in his mind because he didn't have pencil and paper. And then when he got out of the concentration camp, he wrote the words to that book in 9 days. Now, I wrote a book, and it took me a lot longer than 9 days to write, but he wrote it in 9 days because he'd been working on it in his mind the whole time that he was in that concentration camp. And here's what he said.
Better at writing.
Yeah. Say that again, Emery.
I've got to get better at writing.
Yes, so do I. And here's what he wrote about being in that concentration camp. He said, there were always choices to make every day, every hour, offered the opportunity to make a decision which determined whether you would or would not submit to those powers which threatened to rob you of your very self, your inner freedom, which determined whether or not you would become the plaything of circumstance, renouncing freedom and dignity to become molded into the form of a typical inmate. So I made a decision after reading that book that I would not allow this place of perceived imprisonment to be something that grounded me, meaning I couldn't fly and get off the ground like an airplane, but that it would ground me and be a place where I could build a strong foundation and dig and send roots down as deep as I could to a source. And that source for me was my life mission and serving Heavenly Father's children and helping them have a higher level of spiritual strength. So that's what step number one was. I had to make a decision.
Oh, and that's such a powerful decision. And it's hard too, though, when you wake up to that of first you have to find what that grounding is. Like it's like this very, what's that word where everything just feels in motion and there's no foundation of anything and you're just kind of free falling. And then trying to realize that, okay, you need to make a decision. You need a way out of this. You need direction. So how did you come to that realization that that was your anchor, that Heavenly Father's children and helping people find spiritual strength?
I have something that I've learned that not everybody has. And I have clarity on my life mission. And I've had it since I was 14. And when I received my patriarchal blessing, it actually says, your mission in life is to... And wow. I thought everyone's patriarchal blessing said that, but they don't. And I think Heavenly Father had to tell me what mine was so I could help people figure out what theirs is as well. So yeah. My mission in life is to bless my brothers and sisters who are Heavenly Father's children to live a higher level of spiritual strength and influence as many as possible. And I have built out a very simple 5-step system, the questions you can answer and get clarity on, so you can identify what your life mission is too.
Wow, that is so cool. So, and for those listening too, Andrew and me and Emery, we're all part of the same church. We didn't know that until meeting earlier. And but it's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So as we talk about missions or patriarchal blessings or those things, that's what we're referring to is the beliefs inside of our church. And so if anybody has more questions about that and wants more clarity around those terms, feel free to send me a DM on Instagram or Facebook. I'm happy to clear up those, or we'll have a podcast about it because I definitely love those topics. But I just also want to clarify, if you don't know what those things are, don't worry. You're not alone.
My book is not written to an audience that's just of our faith. It's for a lot of people. In fact, I had people of all faiths, in fact, even those that were atheists and agnostic, read my book before I published it. And I explained very simply that patriarchal blessing I talk about is just some words of counsel from a great mentor in my church who helped me see what I might have not been able to see at the time about my life. And we believe that that's just a really easy way for us to understand what God wants for us in our life. So that's what that patriarchal blessing is all about.
Yep. So cool.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Just thought, I've got two thoughts. Okay, one thought, two questions.
Question.
First of all, I've always thought of my life as like a book. Like the day is like a page and like a chapter is like a year. You started your chapter, I started my life, and my life, that part of my life, I would consider the first chapter of my book. So just thought that was kind of cool.
It is way cool.
But then since you were having a divorce, did you get to like keep the kids or like half the kids, or how did that work out?
Yeah, so they get to spend some time with me, and then they get to spend some time with their mom. So they get to live in two houses.
Yeah, so that kind of leads to my question too, is So you find yourself 10 years ago in the basement of your parents. And that's a very humbling experience, because none of us, when we move out, ever anticipate moving back in.
Yes.
So how did you go, like, physically from that, finding a wife, now having a beautiful family? And I know that there's a lot of just the inner self-talk of not being good enough, or you messed up the last marriage, or different things like that. And that's incredible that you overcame that. And I want other people who are listening to know that they're capable of doing the same thing. So What was that journey like for you?
Well, I just started asking and accepting other people's help. I started asking for and accepting other people's help. And I realized that before I could expect God to send me heavenly angels, I should probably just look around and see the earthly angels, my siblings, my parents. There were incredible new friends that I made, and then professionals that were able to help me see something in myself that I hadn't been able to see for a very long time. And as I poured into those relationships, striving to serve and help them, but also just letting them help me as well, that was paramount to me getting back my own personal strength again.
Oh. So how did you end up meeting your wife?
That's a great story. I tell it in my book.
Oh, perfect.
My sister, that's just older than me, so she's the fourth of five. Her name is Mandy, although it's Amanda, because they all had to start with A. She had just had her third child, and her husband was a dentist with the Navy, and he was on a ship off the coast of Japan for 3 months. And so she came to live with our parents while I was there. So these kids didn't have a dad, because he was on a ship in the ocean helping people with their teeth. And I didn't have a wife or my kids all the time. So I kind of became their dad for a couple months. And one day, after a Sunday afternoon dinner with all the family, Mandy and my sister-in-law, they set me up on a dating site, and it was called LDSSingles.com. And I didn't want to do it, but they created a profile for me. And at night, after we would put her kids to bed, she would go online and she would start checking out babes on LDSSingles.com. And she'd be like, "Oh, you got to look at this one." I'm like, "I don't want to do this." And then one day, I remember exactly where she was sitting. I remember what she said. She said, "Andrew, I really like this one. I really, really like this one." And she had me come and read about her and look at her pictures. And she sat there while I sent a message. And that message turned into a phone call, which turned into phone calls for about an entire month. And I fell in love with Shari, my wife, on the phone before I ever saw her or met her in person. And so I was very, very grateful that I had that intellectual, spiritual, social connection with her before it was ever physical or in person.
Yeah, so that's such a beautiful story.
So is that, so does that mean she was your second wife or your first?
She was my second wife.
Yeah. Okay.
And she lived about 4 hours away in another town, so we couldn't just go on a date. We had to get to know each other talking on the phone first.
Yeah. So now, after you guys found each other and were falling in love, how did you help your kids? And I don't want to just ask in mom, dad kind of a situation, but I know there's so many moms and dads worried about this. So also with your experience and as a coach and all the education that you have, how did you utilize all that as a dad to help your kids and to help her kids and kind of become a bigger family? Because that's got to be a whole lot of different perspectives and needs going on there too.
Yeah. I wish I could say that being a coach gave me some super dad, stepdad, all the powers. And I don't think it does. And yet, I asked my wife a couple months ago, after we'd been married for 7 years and we're now in year eight, I think. And I said to her, "Hey, is our marriage as good and easy as I think it is? Or is this just a story I'm making up in my head? Because if it's not, I need to know, because marriage number one was really challenging. We've been married for 7 years and now we're at year seven. Like, is it as good as I think it is?" And she said, "Yeah, it's great." I'm like, "Promise you're not just," because we're not going to counseling, we're not doing therapy. Like, we don't have a lot of struggles. Like, it just feels really good. And she's like, no, yeah, it's fine. And I said, well, why do you think that is? Because most things in life are hard and a lot of marriages are hard. Like, why do you feel like our marriage is so good? And she said, it's all those things that you teach. And while maybe I don't recognize that I'm applying the principles that I teach with my clients, I just try to absorb everything I can find in a good book, whether it's scripture or books that normal people write. And we strive to live those principles in our marriage and with our kids. And those books are available to everybody. And so I don't have a secret sauce other than I try to find principles of success that others have found. And then we just implement them first in our own lives and in our marriage, and then with our kids as well. And then we actually pay our kids to read those books. Emery, here's a great way that you can make some extra money. You say, hey, Mom, Andrew's book. Yeah, here you go. Andrew's book on the back, it says $19.99. Or if you get the hardcover, it's $24.99. You say, if I read this book, will you pay me that amount of money? And then our kids, if they read certain books that we approve of, we pay them because we think that they should learn that the more that they read and increase their mind, then it's like something that can provide them with additional value and money in their life because they can make more money and help more people. So yeah, there's a little trick that we do with our kids. And if you want to negotiate with your mom, maybe you can start making money by reading some good books too.
Yeah. Well, how do you think about that, Em?
I like it, but what if I read a book and it goes toward my dog?
Oh, there you go. Book for dog upkeep, huh? Uh-huh.
That would be a great deal.
So the thing that I'm really curious about right now too is after this whole situation and everything, and now you're living a good life, and like you said, your marriage is really good. I'm really curious to know what it was that your parents did. One, you felt comfortable enough to move back in with them. Sure. And two, you've gone on to create success, and that can be hard to even cultivate. And you shared a little bit about how as a 14-year-old kid, you know what your purpose was. And before right. that you had just different experiences. So what do you feel like it was that your parents did that really enabled you to be the kind of person that you are today?
Great. So two characteristics I'll share about my parents and then what I feel like they did very well. To give you context, I'm the youngest of five. All of us children are very, very strong individuals with very strong opinions, and we don't always agree. And yet we all have very good relationships with each other. We can go on vacations together, family reunions. We help each other in times of need. We are the first line of defense when it comes to struggles and challenges. And yet we're not the same, and we don't have the same opinions on a lot of things, but we are very, very tight. And I believe that my parents instilled that in us with two characteristics. Number one, my dad is one of the most hardworking people you'll ever meet in your entire life. And he just has this ability to do whatever it takes to get something done. And whether that's serving someone or whether it's just figuring out how to overcome anything, he just never quits. And so that ability to just stick to it and work as hard as we possibly can has been an incredible ability to make it through challenges for all of us. So that's number one, dad. And then mom is one of the most sweet, unconditionally loving people I've ever known. And she just loves and pours into, and it's all about just making people feel good about themselves and seeing the best in them. So when you take that quality with my mom has a great work ethic as well, and dad loves people too, but if we could, you know, split those up, dad is strength of the oak, mom is strength of the willow. And they just taught us to treat other people that way. And so we treat each other that way, and we are there for each other, and we love regardless of what's going on. And we have that unconditional ability to just show up and do whatever it takes to help each other. So they live that. They were always bringing people into our home. My dad was picking up homeless people when we were on scout trips and taking them to the grocery store to get them food instead of giving them money for drugs and alcohol. It was just their example of loving and serving and just working hard through whatever it was that we found ourselves in.
Wow. What incredible people to live up to and to glean from everything that they've, the way that they live their life. And thank you so much. And thank you again for sharing your story with everybody here. And what would be your last piece of advice for those who are wanting to develop that courage, wanting to change their life and find their own purpose so that they can have that kind of stalwartness in their own life?
Yeah. You won't find it in your parents' basement. You won't find it in your basement. You won't find it in a book or on your bed like I did. You are going to find your purpose and that unique gift and those that you are called to serve by getting outside of yourself and serving. And if you want to stop listening right now and put your phone down or your whatever you're listening on, I would invite you to just look around and see who could use a little bit of your service and love today, whether it's a next door neighbor that needs a handwritten note or a plate of cookies or a text message or someone in your very own home who needs their bed made just to say that you love them. Just that simple act of service. And as you do so, you will find those that you were called to serve, and you'll understand your unique gifts that they might be praying for that you have to offer. That's what I would like everyone to do right now, today.
So good. I love that. And so precise too, something that we can all do. And it works. It works when you start getting out and serving. It really does help you find who you were called to serve. So love that. Well, thank you, Andrew. And I'll definitely leave links in the show notes for his book and for his website as well, if you want to get in contact with him and learn more about what he does, because we need more people like Andrew, who is here to help lift us up and become the best versions of ourselves. We don't need to do this alone. And thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
And we need more people like Emery and more people like Wanda that are sharing all this stuff. You guys are incredible. Thank you for being who you are.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We'll see ya.
Bye.
Thank you again for being a part of our podcast family and for the difference you are making right now in the world and in the walls of your own home. If you're wanting to support parents everywhere, you can do that by leaving a rate and review. This helps so many find connection and answers they are searching for. Also, don't forget to go to wandahoward.com and get your own free parenting blueprint. I love you all, and we will see you next time.